As you're returning to your seats, if you'll look at Luke chapter 8, I'm using the King James Version this morning. And before I preach, I want to make a special announcement. It's really a reintroduction of a couple, Brandon and Angel. Will you guys stand? Brandon and Angel Morris. They are married now. Congratulations. Angel, you're excited, girl. That is awesome. Congratulations. They had a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Y'all can be seated. Had a beautiful, beautiful wedding, and so happy for them. They're starting their lives together. You married folks, will y'all pray for them? Y'all going to need prayer. Y'all smiles and Brandon hugging up close. There are going to be times that you're at church, you're like, I've seen when the husband didn't get the door open for the wife leaving out here, they're already in an argument. That, y'all know that the word says in Mark 4 that the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. Sometime before you get her to the car, y'all are already. Marriage is wonderful. Like I said, I've been married to this pretty woman 25 years plus. We're getting ready to go celebrate, and that's going to be wonderful. Can't wait. Luke chapter 8, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, starting with verse 22. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples." This is Jesus. "And he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he, being Jesus, fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obeyed him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee." Thank you for your word, God. It's going to help us. It always does. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Has anybody ever gone to the water park at Carowinds? I mean, when I grew up, we couldn't go no water parks. But I don't go to that church anymore. I go to water parks and still go to heaven. I found that out. But I had my own son and a couple of his friends, and we were in the wave pool, and you know, it's just going. And it stops, and when it stops, it settles out pretty quick. And I looked at them kids, and I said, "Did y'all hear that?" They looked at me like, "What?" I said, "I could have sworn I just heard something say, peace be still." Okay. So, you know, they gave me the same little courtesy laugh that y'all just gave me. But this story right here really did happen. And it really was a storm. And Jesus really did rebuke the wind and the waves. But before he did that, he said something that should have been an indicator to the believers in the boat, because after all, these were supposed to be real believers, because after all, they were disciples of Jesus. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? Kind of, you know, we're kind of supposed to be that, disciples of Jesus. So we're supposed to be believers, But he's told them this, and I don't know if it just went past them or what. He said, let us go to the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. And their faith was such that they got in so much trouble that they went and woke Jesus up. So there was a part of them that realized that Jesus was going to make it, but are we going to make it too? Does that ever happen with you? You know he's going to make it, but you wonder if you've been left behind in the deal, or wonder, did he forget about me, or you're trying to wake Jesus up. His word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, let us go. I love those three words. You need to pick up on that in your life. But I love these other three words down in verse 26. It says, and they arrived. See, Jesus said, let us go. And then some stuff happened. And they arrived. See, we like the environment of peace, and we do pretty good with one environment at a time. But there are certain environments that cause issues. We'll call them issues. It's really doubt, an issue of doubt, an issue of trust. Because if they would have really grasped on to what Jesus said when he said, let us go, they would have said, well, whatever this is, it's not going to take us out till we at least get to where he said we were going. Then something might happen, because he didn't say anything about that. But he did say, let us go. So one thing they should have known for sure is that we're going somewhere and we will get there. Do you remember Paul? There's different stories like this that took place. Paul was told by an he heard the Lord say, Paul, you must go and appear before Caesar. That was several chapters before what happened, before he got to Caesar. But he said, you must appear before Caesar. Caesar Augustus, he told him that. But he didn't tell him that there's going to be a great storm. You're going to have to take a ship. You're going to be stuck. And you're going to have to winter in a particular piece of the world that maybe you didn't realize you're going to have to stay there for a while. That I'm going to take you to a place. I'm not going to take you all the way there, but I'm going to let you stay right here for a little while, for a whole season. You're going to spend a season someplace I didn't tell you about. And then you're going to go back out to sea, and you're going to have a shipwreck. And you're going to make it in, and you're going to kind of have to be. And by the way, during all this, you're going to be considered in prison, surrounded by guards. But you're going to have all these people there, and I'm actually going to put you over them, even though you're the one in prison. You're going to instruct them that if, as long as everybody stays together, swim towards the shore. The boat's falling apart, but don't worry about it. If you can't swim, grab a piece of the ship and float. And when you get to shore, you're going to be surrounded by barbarian people. They're going to want to kill you. Then I'm going to let you get struck by a snake, a poisonous snake, and they're going to think you're a demon and that you were supposed to die. And then I'm going to let you take that fire, that snake, and throw it in the fire. Because you survived the whole poisonous thing, they're going to think you're a god. Then some other stuff is going to happen, and then you're going to end up before Caesar. Like I said a long time ago, there's many times in my Bible I've looked, I've marked that starting point. God said, you must appear before Caesar. Then all this stuff happened, and then it says this, and he arrived and stood before Caesar. He says it. I love that. So if we just like the thing, if that were me, I might think, okay, Caesar, that means they're going to send a limousine to the house, and I'm going to eat really good, and then I'm going to fly first class to where Caesar's at. I'm going to stay in the palace. I'm going to appear before him, and he's going to be amazed at everything God told me to tell him. That's the atmosphere I was shooting for. We don't understand that there's certain atmospheres that have to take place so that the next atmosphere can take place. What I mean by that is this. We pray for blessing. You know, God sends blessing. He compares blessing to rain, right? Did you know that? In the Bible, blessing, rain and blessing are synonymous in a lot of places. But we want God's blessing. We want that atmosphere of blessing, right? We love that. We love that when God says he's going to bless us. So we're expecting that atmosphere to show up. We live in the South, y'all. And usually before it really rains here, what comes rolling in? Dark clouds. See, another atmosphere has to take place to get us to the atmosphere we want. We have to go through some stuff. So we're expecting blessing from God, but we get discouraged and frustrated because we see dark clouds roll in. When he says, I'm going to take you to the other side, he doesn't say how I'm going to get you there. So some of you might be swimming this morning. Some of you might be panicking. Some of you might be wondering where he's even at. And some of you might be floating, hanging on to something in a survival mode. And some of you might be wondering, is he even there at all? Some of you may be swimming for your life. But he's the one that gets you from here to there. I tell you, God has all these referendums on trust, and it's called life. But your whole life is a referendum again. Here we go again. Can you trust me? I mean, I'll just tell you lightly, because most of you know this, but if you don't, our daughter Kenzie, who's, thank God, she's right back there doing what she does. She's had 5 open heart surgeries. She just had another surgery that they, for the first time, technology has come so far that they did not have to do open heart. They were actually to do just like a heart cath and replace a valve. Are you kidding me? Everything that they, like 4 of the 5 surgeries, if technology would have been where it's at now, she wouldn't even had to have open heart. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. She ended up on life support, ECMO. If you know what life support is, then you find out what ECMO is. It's like ECMO is like life support times 10. She's been through all of that. My daughter has gone through all that, but guess who else went through that? Me and her and y'all. And that's one of the other reasons we love you so much. You let us go through that. So many people, I grew up, my dad was a pastor, and one thing I noticed, they expected my dad to wear his Superman cape all the time. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It's supposed to work like it's working, and we're so grateful for that. So grateful for you. But Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And even though there were a lot of people, when the stuff starts happening in your life, there's a lot of times you're going to feel something that you're not. And I want you to get this. Because he said, let us go to the other side. That meant whatever they're going through, he's going through. He just sees it differently. He knows the end. And you got, that's where trust comes in. When you don't know the end, trust really has to grow so that you can make it the trip with him because he's there. All right? But people start feeling alone when stuff starts happening. Do you ever feel alone? There's a show I like. Don't judge me. I watch a TV every now and again. But I love this show called Alone. I love it because I love most of it. Because I feel like I could do that except for the alone part. I get out of my driveway and I'm calling my wife or saying, how's the kids? Just, I mean, literally, I am a homebody. I love people, especially my family. I'm supposed to, but I really do love them. But this show Alone is where they take 10 people and put them in isolation on a on an island or someplace in the mountains, and there's usually a creek by, but they give them 10 items that they can take with them, only 10. You choose the items, and that's you from that point until the end of time, it could be. The only stipulation is that you are alone. They also give you a satellite telephone, so all you got to do is call and say, I'm done. And the whole thing, the whole goal is that the person that lasts the longest alone wins $500,000. Second place gets no $100,000. Nothing. You get the same as the person in 10th place. But I love the show, but the one thing that messes everybody up, the same reason for everybody quits, they quit because they just got to feeling alone. There are people right now living this life who have been in relationship with God. They quit because they started feeling alone. When the truth is, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But he's not always standing there holding up a banner that says Jesus with glow-in-the-dark sprinkles and neon flashing and all that. There's times you don't feel him because he's always growing you. He's there. So it's very important. He puts the responsibility off on us to realize he's there. And I can't help but think about the boat that the disciples were in. They were in a boat. Has anybody ever been in a boat in bad, stormy water? I was this week. I was on Lake Santee Cooper, or that's the place. I was on Lake, whichever one of them lakes it was, the lower or the upper. Anyway, I got in the canal and I went up. And the storm was there when we got there. But I did what I do and go right out in the storm. And that's big water. It's a big storm. We caught some pretty catfish. I got pictures if you want to see them. We're going to eat good, honey. But we paid a price. But here's the thing. That boat is designed to keep the water out of it. When it starts raining and water's getting in that's not coming from outside, the whole problem of the boat, this is what happened. This is when people panic. When what's outside of the boat starts getting what's on the inside of the boat. Same thing in your life. When what's outside tries to get on what's inside. When the whole thing of this, the whole mystery of his kingdom is this: Christ in us. And somehow or another, we do bad with that atmosphere of other things getting in us when Jesus is already supposed to have residence inside of us. And when he has real residence inside of us, there is a peace that comes with that. That's the way it's supposed to be. It turns into a trusting Christ in me, Jesus in the boat with me. So, it leads me to this. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And what did the disciples do? They followed him. They were in a boat, but they had decided on shore, we're going to follow him to the other side. We've got this thing in our society now about people following us. He's got a cell phone. Let me borrow your cell phone there, Tiffany. And find out who's you're following. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Everybody's following somebody, and everybody wants to be followed. Right? If you know, some of them don't know what I'm talking about. I don't really even know what I'm talking about here because I don't do this much, but I'm trying. You might have to help me. My kids, when I talk about somebody like, oh, I'm following them. Oh, I'm following them on Instagram, Facebook, following them. Let me tell you, my son got so impressed. We watched a special documentary on this guy named Randall Cunningham. Has anybody ever heard of him? He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I did not know that Randall Cunningham was even a minister. He preaches the gospel in Las Vegas. There's some gospel to preach in Las Vegas. And I did not know, though, that in his career, one of his children, he had a little boy that drowned, I think, at the age of 2 in their backyard in a pool. And my son and I'm sitting there watching. And I'm like, oh, this got serious real quick. This got deep real quick. And Randall Cunningham said, he said, I just realized that my son went on home. But I didn't know that Randall had this relationship with the Lord. I always admired him as a quarterback. He had this relationship with the Lord. He said, my son went home. My little boy looked at me and he said, Daddy, one day me and you will go home too. And I said, don't say that. Where's the remote? This thing got too deep. And he's looking at me and his chin's quivering. I'm like, there he goes. My kid's doing that deep thing again. I ain't ready for this. Oh, messing me up. And but it meant a lot. And then he went on to tell us, they still got the same home after all these years. Happened like 15 years ago. And now he uses that pool for baptizing people. Man, I might need a minute on that one. That one got me. And the following Sunday, we were driving right up through here, 21. We're coming up by the Greenway. And me and Walker were talking about that. He rode to church that Sunday morning with me. And he said, Dad, that's really cool about them using the pool like that. And we were right back into Deepville again. And I said, isn't that awesome, son? I said, what was once death is now life. What once held a place of death is now life. New life is being celebrated right there. Then his chin started quivering. He said, Dad, we're going to go home one day too. He did that again to me. I'm like, la, 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 la. Isn't that field pretty out there, son? And so I sent Randall Cunningham a message on Facebook. Me and Randall are friends now. I got a friend in Randall, and you don't. He obviously liked what I said, because the guy at that place in his career ain't looking for friends, but he found one in me. And my son kept saying, until that point, he kept saying, did Randall respond? Did Randall respond? And then I didn't think he would. And I told him, son, he probably doesn't even check this. He's probably got somebody that does it. He can't take friends and all that. He just too big. Some things go without saying. We're friends. We're tight. We are tight. We'll go with that. But we'll gladly follow something that we think is bigger than us, won't we? Or something that we think is there's some value if we follow it, or it's interesting enough, or it's intriguing enough, or they're famous enough to follow. Jesus said, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow him. See, they were bigger than social media way back. But what do people start doing? They start following as long as they like him. Has anybody got a handkerchief? I want to shake a handkerchief myself. People will follow him while they like him, but let him do something they don't like. And it'll stress the relationship to the breaking point. Aren't we funny? How many of you remember being in elementary school? I know I'm dating myself here, but we used to write each other love letters. And we always had the option box. I love you, do you love me? Yes. Or no, please check, yes, I wrote that. Please, you just got to hear my heart here. I'm feeling this thing with us, you know. And then I also had that last chance box, maybe. I mean, I was holding out, you know. She was the one. And God has never sent me down a survey pre-anything. Are you okay if I do this, John? No, he just said, follow me. He just said, trust me. He's got a history of that from way back. Remember Abraham? Follow me. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going, but just follow me. Don't worry about where you're going. I got it. Just get to walking. And even everywhere you walk, that's going to be blessed. You can't follow God without being blessed, because I promise you, every step is faith. Every step with Him is a step of faith. Boy, does that come with a blessing, though. Since I've started following Him, I can't imagine not following Him. What a life. Something else that we do that we're bad about, not just following according to like, we will follow according to love as we know it. But if we ever start following according to love as He knows it, it's going to be very different. Because I've said this past couple of Sundays, we follow or we love like the world loves. In other words, we love up to a point. We love up to, based on the information that we've had, based on our record, based on our history, based on what you've shown me this far, I love you. You know what that does? That makes it performance bound. That puts everything on my love for you is based on your performance and how I grade it. We've even got a society that most people are used to that little like box, and we base so much on the likes. There are people that are so much into that that they will fall into depression if likes go down, if following goes down. Do you know what that type of mentality does? That means now you are not just out in front. You are now being led. If you live like that, you're being led by people's opinion of you. That's not living. Why not follow somebody until you establish a track record that they never mess up? That's somebody worth following. And Paul did say, imagine that. Same guy, preached about so many times, said, follow me as I follow Him. Do you know how sobering that is right there for us to imagine that, to do something like that? To say that? I can't even imagine saying that to somebody. Follow me unless I put in this clause as I follow Him. Because just following me, there's a scripture for that. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Follow me as I follow Him. You got to learn to live your life like that. You know, not even going to get into the what would Jesus do. That was a whole movement. What would Jesus do? But if you live your life like that, it'd be some pretty good boundaries. It'd be an invisible fence that would not just keep stuff out, protect you from going too far. It'd protect things from getting in that shouldn't get in either. Jesus said this. And let me say, last week, my mother-in-law, she said, John, do you realize how long were you meaning to talk about? You kept saying, John, did you mean Peter? And I'm like, I didn't say Peter. It's like, John denied Jesus. I kept saying it. She said, and you kept saying it. I'm like, thanks, Mimi. I heard you the first time. And I was like, oh, I wanted to come back and gather everybody back and then just hide around here for a little while. Because I'm human, I did that. I know that it was Peter that denied Jesus. You knew it was Peter, and you were gracious, so you didn't say, hey, preacher, wrong guy. But let me tell you what John did do, what John really did do. John got offended at Jesus. Offended at Jesus. John, the forerunner of Jesus. John that baptized Jesus got offended at Jesus too. Because John ended up in prison, in chains, and he got upset because he didn't like how things were going. And he sent his disciples with word to Jesus. So you just flip back a page, chapter 7, verse 19 through 22. It said this, John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? That's strong. That's strong. Do what? He just unfriended him. You've been looking in my notes. It's right there. He unfriended Jesus. He decided, that's a problem. He decided, I ain't following Jesus no more. I am unliking Jesus. I'm unliking it. Has Jesus ever done anything for you that you didn't like? I didn't get that box. I didn't get that memo. I didn't get that chance to complain because he knew that's what I would have done. He said this, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Are we look for another, or look we for another? Notice, are you the guy? Because I liked you up to this point, but I'm not so sure I like you anymore. I didn't know that this meant prison. That's what he said. I didn't know that my comfort zone was going to get taken away. I didn't know that this stuff was going to happen. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. This is Jesus. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Sorry. Roar. The deaf hear, the dead raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever that shall not be offended in me. Jesus was kind of giving him a quick checkup. Everything's happening that's supposed to be happening, John. And blessed are you if you're not offended in me. We walk in the Spirit, but sometimes we walk in the flesh. Paul talked about that struggle. Sometimes it's easier to worship God when everything's going our way and we're liking him. There are other times when it's a little difficult on this human mind to figure it all out because I don't see the whole picture. What did I say last week? Better information comes better decisions. If we were to look to the victory side and if we could see that the victory was about to come, we'd probably go ahead and start the victory dance. But when we can't see it, There's a clinical term that's used. It's called depression. It usually occurs when people can't see next. That's what it boils down to. I can't see next, and it's hard on my mind. My mind gets tired, and I go into a depression. God has next covered. He's got it covered. It's not easy to see sometimes. But he did say this. He said, Matthew 16:24, he said, told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must what? First, number one. This is the big, you get over this hurdle, you're probably going to be okay on the rest of them. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's a scripture where, I think it's John 8:12, where he says, I'm sorry, this is in Matthew 2, but he says, come unto me, all you who are weary, who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't it say that? Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden. You're either working so hard or you got something piled on you so heavy that it's slowing down production in you. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He does not say, I'll make it stop. He doesn't say you won't have to deal with it anymore. Just lay it down. I got it from here. He says, no. Labor, you're heavy laden. Come to me, I'll give you rest. That actually translate, the word rest translates to refresh. Come to me, you're tired, you're worn out, and you're carrying a heavy load. He says, I will refresh you. I'm giving you some computer talk, stuff I don't even know about, but I know one thing. I know that my computer can have so much stuff on it because I live with her. Sometimes I just have to hit the refresh button. And then everything goes back to where it needs to be. It's not jammed up anymore. And now I can accomplish some of the things that I thought I can't accomplish this. We paid this much money for this computer and this thing, refresh. He needs to be your default. You can't figure it out. Come to me. All you're laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you a refresh. Start over. A do-over. A clean slate. Over and over and over again. If you follow me. This thing is never going to be, hey, come unto me, you're saved, now go for it. It's following. Following. When you get in trouble, were you following? When you I didn't say, can you not understand it? I didn't say, is it cloudy? Sometimes I had to pray for clarity. Anybody else in the house ever had to pray for clarity? Follow me. Follow me. Some of you are in a season of following. That's life with Jesus right there. When you can't see, he's as close. The Bible says he's as close. He's as close. He sticks closer than a brother. We sing songs that says he's as close as the mention of his name. If I'm following you, and I get to where I can't see you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to call your name. Make sure I can get my bearings. Oh, you're over there. Over there. And it's usually me that got turned around. All right. Christine, will you come? What I'm saying is this. This walk is not based on likes. It's based on trust. There's going to be some things that you don't like. That's when you trust even more. Trusting is something that grows in you. Something that is proven. If you've ever had somebody break your trust, that's one of those areas as a human being. We don't just say, oh, golly gee, it's all right. It's just trust. We're right back in the thick. Trust takes time. Guess who's got time? God's got time. Guess who's got the perfect record? The same one that's got the time. Time's not for him. Time is for you. It's a unit of measurement for you to understand more and more and more. But he doesn't just say, follow me without giving you something in return. You've all read Psalm 23. I know you have. Hundreds and hundreds of times you've heard it over and over. But he says, surely, at the very end of that psalm, he said, surely, means without reservation, without any doubt, without exception, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That word dwell actually means I will return to the house of the Lord. I will return to the house of the Lord. Every time I get away, I will return back to God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word goodness is translated as his kindness. The word mercy is translated as his love. So surely, as I've forged this relationship where he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep, I've come to realize this. Surely, God's kindness and God's love will follow me. How about that? We know he loves us. We know he'll never leave us and forsake us. But as he leads us and we're following him, guess what's following you? His kindness and his love. At the rate I walk, they're right there with me. If I decide to run, they're following. That is a good thing. That is an assurance. His love, his kindness. How else is it that things can happen I don't understand? Then all of a sudden I feel a sense of his peace and his kindness.